you so much for that very beautiful special music. Very lovely. We've had men stand up here and greet us in English and in Italian, and Mr. Penchel greeted us in German. So I thought it only fitting that I greet you according to my tongue, which is Australian Texan. So good day, y'all. Well, it's hard to believe, but here we are. The last day, the last message of the feast in 2024. We have certainly received wonderful instruction and been given a renewed vision for the world tomorrow. And I hope you, like myself, feel very encouraged and strengthened by the spiritual food that we have received. After tomorrow's 8-day service, we will all begin to head on home, to head back into a society that is led by Satan, to once again contend with him, with society, and continue our journey towards the kingdom of God. So to close out the feast in 2024, what I would like to do is I would like to share something with you that we can take with us as we continue on that journey towards the kingdom. To start with, what I'd like to do is take us back 40 years in history. We went forward many years. I don't know how many it will be, ultimately. I want to take us back 40 years to 1984. Why that year? In 1984, I left the shores of Australia to attend Ambassador College in Big Sandy, Texas. And while there, I was able to take a number of different theology classes, of which I learned many wonderful things, learned many spiritual lessons. And today I want to share with you one particular spiritual lesson. Yet, interestingly enough, I did not learn it within the theology classes that I took. I actually learned this lesson from a physical education class that I took. See, as a freshman in Big Sandy, Texas, I took cycling for my physical education, or one of my physical education classes. And being a little older than the average freshman, and having having a lot of cycling experience in my youth growing up, I was asked to be what they called a pack leader. Now, what was a pack leader and what were they responsible for? The pack leader was the individual that was to ride in front of everyone else, in front of the pack, and they would yell back instructions to the people in the pack, the people that were cycling with them. A pack leader was to give warning and instruction to the group behind. I would communicate when it was necessary to ride single file and when it was safe to ride side by side, two abreast. I would communicate directional instructions, and I would also communicate where there were possible dangers ahead. But of all the instructions that the pack leader was asked to give, there was one most important instruction. And it came at the end of every ride. At the end of every ride, as we began to approach the college, as we began to approach home, the pack leader was instructed to warn the pack with three simple words. Those words were not home yet. Not home yet. Now, what was the significance of those words? Why were we asked to always give that instruction as we began to approach home? Those three words were given as service to the pack not letting down their focus, to warn the pack to stay focused, to stay alert, because to lose focus could mean a terrible accident occurring. You know, it's interesting that the concept of accidents occurring close to home as we approach home is well known and it's well documented. I want to share with you one statistic, and it's a statistic from the United States, but human nature being what it is, I'm assuming that this statistic is worldwide, because human nature is worldwide. So let me just share this with you to illustrate my point. In the United States, on average, every year there are 5.25 million car accidents. 5.25 million road accidents. What is interesting is 52% of all of those accidents occur within a 5-mile radius of the person's home. Why is that? Well, obviously there are many contributing factors to that, but really in essence it all boils down to one thing, and that is human nature. You see, because when we begin to come into an environment where we feel comfortable, oh, I'm almost there, what does human nature tend to do? It tends to relax, to let down a little bit, and to lose some of that focus. And that results in many car accidents. Well, that might be all very interesting, but what does that have to do with you and with me and why we're here throughout this feast? What does it have to do with you and me, brethren? Well, you and I are on a journey. We are on a spiritual journey towards the kingdom of God. We've been hearing about that throughout these past 7 days. You and I seek a home, but it's a home not made with human hands, but with the very hand of God. Many of us have been on this journey for a long time. It's been a long ride, and we've been focused for a long time. And we're beginning to approach home. We're beginning to enter into a dangerous period. As we begin to draw close to home, human nature can tend to kick in. And if we're not careful, right near the end of our journey, we can let down, we can lose our focus, and we can be involved in a spiritual accident. So today what I'd like to do is I'd like to conclude this Feast of Tabernacles 2024 by simply leaving all of us with a reminder that we're not home yet. Christ is our spiritual pack leader, and he warns us within the scripture. He has warned us through the messages that we've received already that we're close, but we're not home yet. We're closer than we've ever been. We've been given a wonderful renewed vision. We can see it. We can taste it. We're almost there. But we're not home yet. And when we leave the feast after the last great day message tomorrow, which is of course a separate step in God's plan of salvation. But when we leave, we must remember now is not the time to let down. Now is not the time to lose our focus. Christ himself, as our pack leader, the chief shepherd, he warns us of this in the Olivet Prophecy. In Matthew 24 and 25, he discusses what the end of the age will be like. We heard a little bit about that in the first message, and I really appreciated that because it actually lays some groundwork that now I don't have to lay. So maybe we can end on something. Well, but he warns us of this. Let's go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 25. He talks about how it's a time of lawlessness. It's going to be a time of great confusion and distraction, to where if we're not careful, even the very elect can lose their focus, can have a spiritual accident. Let's notice in Matthew chapter 25, and I'm not going to go through the beginning of it. We're going to break into Matthew 25 in verse 10. But prior to that, Christ is giving us the parable of the 10 virgins. And it's a parable that's well known. We understand that. So I'm not going to go through that other than to say, to make the point that some of the virgins, some of the elect, lost their focus. And when did that happen? Right as the bridegroom was about to appear. Let's notice, picking it up in verse 10 of Matthew 25, we read the following. Again, breaking into the verse, it says, "The bridegroom came," so we're given the timing of this, "and those who were ready," those who remained focused, on alert, "those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut." That's an interesting statement. Don't have time to go into that. But the door was shut. Afterwards, going on in verse 11, "afterwards the other virgins came also saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.'" And then we come to verse 12. Verse 12, Christ utters some words that you and I never want to hear, brethren. To the unwise, those who lost their focus, it says, "But he," this is verse 12, "but he," Christ, "answered and said, 'Assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. I do not know you.'" Those are words that we never want to hear. That our bridegroom doesn't know us as part of his bride. Now the word "know" in the Greek, it doesn't just mean to have an intellectual acknowledgement of or understanding of. The word "know" can be understood in terms of relationship. It can be understood in terms of have regard for or to cherish. It's very similar to the Hebrew word in the Old Testament, "know," which intimates a close and intimate relationship with. You remember the scripture that says, "And Adam knew Eve, and she bore him a child." It represents a close and intimate relationship. So when Christ says he didn't know the foolish virgins, what he's saying is, our relationship has been damaged to such a point that you will not be part of the bride. What a sad state of affairs. As fellow sojourners on this journey towards the kingdom, again, you and I never want to hear those words. So Christ warns us ahead of time. But Christ doesn't just give us a warning of the negative. He also gives us instruction on how to avoid those road accidents, if you will, spiritually speaking. He gives us instructions on how to stay focused. Let's notice then, going on in verse 13, Christ says, here's the solution. If you don't want to lose your focus, if you want to stay actively involved, if you want to maintain that relationship with the bridegroom, what are we to do? Verse 13, Christ says, "Watch, therefore." To avoid the problems, he says, "Watch, therefore. For you neither know the hour, the day or the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." To counter the effects of losing our focus and having a spiritual accident, we're given the instruction to watch. In fact, in Matthew 24, 25, and 26, Christ, on five separate occasions, tells us to watch. It's a pretty important piece of instruction. So what does it mean? What does it mean to watch? Does it mean that we watch world news so that we can understand where we are in prophecy? Well, that's okay, that's important. But that's not what he's talking about here. Again, in the Greek, the word for watch is gregorion. I'll spell that G-R-E-G-O-R-E-U-O, gregorion. And it means to stay awake. Thus he uses it in the parable of the 10 virgins. To stay awake, but it can also be interpreted as stay sober. Be vigilant. Be alert so as to avoid calamity. When you think about that from the perspective of the foolish virgins, how much calamity they experience. Peter also echoes his master's warning to watch in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. This is another well-known scripture. It says, be sober, be vigilant. The word vigilant there is gregorio. Be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he will devour. Watch, because Satan is on the prowl. Paul also, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6, tells us, therefore let us not sleep, let us not lose focus, let down our guard, but let us watch and be sober. Be alert, be awake, be sober, be vigilant. So we see that Christ, Peter, and Paul all warn us against losing our focus, letting down, and spiritually falling asleep. Why? Because it leads to accidents. Spiritually losing our connection with, our relationship with, specifically the bridegroom, but also the Father. So we're told to watch, to stay awake, to stay alert, to stay focused on the road ahead. Continuing on in Matthew chapter 26, I'd like us to notice something that Christ does that teaches us something very important about how to watch. We know what watching is, but how do we do it? Let's notice in Matthew chapter 26, and we'll begin reading in verse 36. It says, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. Verse 37, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Now notice, stay here and watch with me. The instruction was not to watch for me. He wasn't placing them as a lookout. Tell me when the guards are coming. He's saying, watch with me. Do what I do. Because what I'm about to do is how you maintain a watchful attitude, a watchful heart. And what does he do? Going on in verse 39, it says, and he went a little further, fell on his face, and prayed. Prayed. Knowing what was about to befall him, knowing that he had to maintain his focus, he prayed to his Father that his relationship would remain strong with his Father. You see, when it comes to watching, prayer is the critical answer. In order for us to remain watchful, we must always be on our knees in prayer. That's how we maintain the relationship with the bridegroom. Without communication, there cannot be a sustained relationship. Verse 41, he goes on and says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation, lest you lose that focus. Now, it's interesting, in the English language, we might read that and see watch and pray as two separate things. But that's not the meaning, the intent in the Greek. In the Greek, the word and is kai, K-A-I. And it doesn't contrast, in this case, two different objects. It is actually, kai is actually a copulative, communicative, or connective word that connects two items or objects together. In this case, watch and pray. It connects the two as one. So we might say, to watch is to pray, and to pray is to watch. Let's begin to wrap this up. You and I, dear brethren, we are on a spiritual journey. As we look at the world around us, it is evident every day, more and more, that we're beginning to come to the end of this journey. I don't know how long, but I do know this. It's closer today than it was yesterday. And it's going to be even closer tomorrow. We don't know when it will be, but we are in the end time. I think we would all agree with that. And as such, we are entering a dangerous time. A time where human nature says, oh, relax a little. Take your breath. Let down. Take it easy. And that's when spiritual accidents can occur. Satan's going to throw at us many distractions. Whether they be political, economic, financial, whatever they might be. He wants to distract us, to take our eyes off the road ahead. Because he wants accidents to happen. Christ and his apostles tell us to watch, to avoid that. Keep our eyes on the road. So he tells us to watch. Don't get caught up in the peripherals of the world. Now they're there. I'm not denying them. But we don't focus on them. Imagine you're driving down the road and you see a person next to you driving down the road with you. And instead of looking ahead, they're looking to the side. Well, what's that going to result in? An accident. We've got to keep looking ahead on the road ahead. We can glance, we can see, we don't ignore, but that's not where our focus is. If we want to maintain a close and intimate relationship with the bridegroom, we must stay focused on the road ahead. We are closer than we've ever been. You might want to just jot down Romans 13, verse 11, where Paul says, awake to righteousness, for your salvation is nearer than when you first began. And that's true for all of us, isn't it? So to conclude, brethren, let me take you back to my college days. On every ride, as we drew close to the end of the ride, the pack leader would warn the pack to stay awake, to stay alert, to stay focused by giving them three little words. Not home yet. But that's not the end of the story. Because the pack then had a responsibility. The pack had the responsibility to repeat back those words to the pack leader, to show that they've heard the instruction, they acknowledge the warning, and that they will obey. They will follow the instruction. So the pack would then yell back to the leader, not home yet. Over the past 7 days, Christ has given us the words. He's given us the instruction. He's given us the focus. In today's message, we've talked about how we're not there yet. We're close, but we're not home yet. So what I would like to do in closing is I would like us together, you get to be involved in this sermon, collectively as his pack, as part of his pack at least around the world. You and I are now going to, at the conclusion of this feast, we're going to respond to our leader. We're going to all say together the words in English, in Italian, Matt, if you want, in German. We're going to say the words together to acknowledge that we've heard our Lord and Master, our Savior, our King, the Chief Shepherd, our pack leader. So on the count of three, English, Italian, whatever language you know, doesn't matter, God hears it all. On the count of three, we're all going to say the words, not home yet. Ready? One, two, three. Not home yet.